Hey guys, and welcome to today's episode of Give It The Beans. Wherever you are in the world, I hope that you are well. The bodybuilding season in 2024 is well underway here in the UK, and what a phenomenal couple of weeks it's been. In total, the past 2 weeks, there's been 24 top threes, but 23 of them came this past weekend at FMC in Ayrshire, and what an intense weekend it was. Nine people I had on stage, and they absolutely smashed it. I think that the whole day we ended up with like 23 top threes, 12 of which were firsts, 9 of which were seconds, a sword and a couple of thirds. But just what I was more happy with was just the look, and how everybody sort of conducted themselves on stage, how professional they were. Maybe perhaps there was a couple of decisions, I suppose, that didn't go our way, but just how the team were still professional and how they conducted themselves in that was amazing. And just they were a super representation of themselves, but also me up there. And if any of them are listening, I just want to say a massive thank you. It was a pretty surreal moment for me as a coach to have 9 people in there competing when, you know, the most I'd had on stage prior to that was, I think, 5 in one show, 6 across one weekend, or maybe it was 6 in PCA Scotland last year. So to go with an extra 3 to a show was amazing, and I got 10 going this weekend, 10 the weekend after, and I'm here for it. You know, those show day weekends, they're quite exhausting for me just because of how, I guess, my work mode is on, and the decisions that I make at any given time can affect the look. So there's a lot of concentration, just continual check-ins across the weekend, but the look it produces is always fucking worth it. And yeah, I'm just so entirely grateful to be able to do what I do, and get to call it work. You know, for me, that weekend was fun. It certainly wasn't work, and I very much look forward to the rest. I think I'm 1 week into a stint of 6 or 7 weekends on the trot with clients and shows before I need to have a break. But I'm here for it all. So yeah, the weekend went incredibly well. Very much looking forward to the next one. I thought it was very applicable to do a podcast that talked about, can you make improvements from show to show? I've maybe done similar podcasts on this before, and there's been similar maybe articles written on the website. But again, this episode is current based on the fact that a lot of my clients are in prep at the moment, as are a lot of people here within the UK and have a run of shows. So when I say can you improve show to show, I don't just mean like, can you get leaner? Because it's not always the case. What I want you to consider, and this has nothing to do with like the judges' feedback and what they say, this should be what your coach is telling you on the day, what they see in front of them, and then what you do thereafter. But let's remember, and what I want you to please, please, please remember, guys and girls, if you're listening, is don't take like the look from one show as a means of that's what you do for the rest of the season. Sometimes there are factors that will perhaps affect things and competitors that show up. Remember, it's about the best look that you can provide on stage versus everybody else, not trying to just chase condition because you saw the fucking winner was more conditioned than you. But if you get more conditioned, it makes you look a bit stringy or not as poppy or whatever it may be. Like, please don't take this episode as a means of, oh, he's meaning just get leaner, because that's certainly not it. So if I'm not talking about just that, what am I talking about? Well, can you refine the peak? You know, as a coach, can you get someone a bit fuller? Have you learnt from that first peak of what to do and what not to do? I tell you, for every single one of my clients, we're changing the peak ever so slightly on what we do going into this weekend. Just based on, like, as soon as the show finished, after like 5 minutes on the drive home, I start thinking about, next week I'm going to do this with that person, I'm going to do this with that person. And then the next day, meshing them all about it. Can you get fuller? Can you get drier? Can you improve posing? Can you improve your stage presence? Those are can you improve the tan if you self-tan? Like, those are massive, massive areas that people forget. You know, if let's say this is your first time, for many, this past weekend, it was their first time on stage or first time with me going on stage. And for many, they were very, very nervous beforehand. And some of them obviously did multiple categories, and see the difference between category 1 to category 2, how much more confident they were, how relaxed they were, was just amazing to see. And with the more that they relaxed, the better that they looked, the better stage presence they had, the better that they posed. And I think that that would hold true for you going into a show the following week as well. If you'd never done it before, you now know what it's like to pump up. You now know what it's like to stand backstage with the rest of the guys, the rest of the girls, how it is, you know, you know where to walk, you know what it's like being on stage in front of people, you know where the MC usually is. All those little things make the experience easier. So I think that, like, a lot of bodybuilding, apart from maybe, say, open bodybuilding, men's physique, women's bikini, wellness, whatever it may be, comes down a lot to posing and stage presence, figure as well. And a show week to, like, say you got a run of 3, 4, 5, 6 shows, whatever it is, as you improve week to week and you gain more confidence, you will ultimately place better too. You'll look at some stage shots, you'll be like, okay, maybe I can move my elbow rimmed here, maybe I could scoot my lat more, maybe I can move my knees here and showcase my quads better, maybe I can get my glutes on in that rear shot. You always need to be constructively critical of those. You'll look at them and go, fucking hell, I'm a badass bitch, I'm a unit, or I'm this, I'm that. Listen, that's brilliant, absolutely. But in this sport, 1% of a difference makes a huge change, doesn't it? So can you think about those mandatory quarter turns, those compulsory poses, and where you can improve? Can you improve conditioning week to week? The answer is absolutely yes. And until you've done a stint of shows, you never really believe it, and you never really think that you can. How I portray it to clients is that up to now, you run 2 high days every, 10, 12, 14 days, however long it is. We then reverse out, we alleviate stress, cortisol, bring it down, etc., etc. So then going into the show, maybe you have a couple of high days, plus maybe a meal post-show, which then allows you to, again, massively reduce fatigue, massively reduce stress. And then when you go back to digging the next day, and you dig for a few days thereafter, you typically will be able to mobilize more fat efficiently and drop down to maybe a new low on the scales. Or if you haven't dropped down on the scales, obviously with drugs and stuff, that's maybe going to fluctuate or come back down to baseline, but the look will improve without a shadow of a doubt. And you can repeat that week in, week out. And I could say that confidently because I've done it with clients, but I've also done it myself. I think back to my prep in 2021, I got leaner every single show I did, and I did 5 in a row, and my best look was the one at the very end versus like the one prior to that. I was 2 or 3 kilos heavier on stage, and by the end of it, 2 or 3 kilos lighter, but visually more cuts, more separations, more striations everywhere. So I haven't done it myself. I know that it's certainly easy, but it's easy for first timers to just, they see that that bump up in the scale weight the day after the show. Maybe of some off-plan food, maybe you've been using diuretics and the rebound and stuff, and they panic. And they go, oh shit, there's no way I'm going to get that back down. But how I always explain it, I say, look, this will happen, then tomorrow this will happen, Wednesday bigger drop, Thursday bigger drop, Friday new low, or whatever it may be. And it always typically happens, and that's not me being a wizard or, fucking being magic at that. It's just having done it time and time again. So please do understand that you can improve. I think with this past weekend, there were some examples of, during the carb load, I pushed it a bit on that second day, and I'm like, yeah, you know what, we could push that day one next week more, because we're pushing it on day two, and just allow for that day two to still be on the lower side of things. Can you get drier? Well, of course, if you perhaps haven't used diuretics, and then you start using them, or you use maybe go from natural to pharmaceutical, or whatever it may be, but you don't necessarily need to get drier if it's not for your chosen category. Like, bikini girls don't have to be dry. But of course, I'm just giving you guys a list of things that you can improve on. With some of them, in the case with a couple of clients of mine, we're going to be using some different diuretics and trialing that, we've maybe used diazide only, and then, pre-show, day one, day two of the load, meal one, show day, and then aldactone later on. Well, this time around, maybe we're just going to trial aldactone on its own. Compare the look, see how the athlete feels within themselves, because what you'll often find is that if anything goes askew or a little bit wrong during the carb load, it has like a lasting effect in someone's mind, and they start then kind of like making up negative thoughts in their head. So let's say, for example, someone wakes up and, or during the load, they get a little bit constipated or bloated. They then start thinking, oh, my midsection. Then before you know it, it's, oh, I don't feel good. Then before you know it, it's like, oh, I'm flat and this. And it can really, unless you're a good coach and know how to manage people, it can really spiral a little bit and it can get someone stressing. And when someone stresses, they look way worse than they do if they're relaxed. So that's where at any given point during the peak, you need to be willing to change the direction of it there and then. Or even just factors out with your control, tan times being late, the show running late, you know, little things like that. At any given time, you always need to be aware of what's going on. So how do you get around that stress and those thoughts? It's constant communication and constant looking and analysing and assessing across the final 24 to 48 hours. So for the most part, for me, let's say the show was on the Saturday. So everybody's like carb loading different, or they're not, or they're peaking differently. But whatever, on the Friday, when we get there the day before the show, typically get there around check-in time for the hotel, which is usually about 3 or 4 p.m. That's when check-ins will start. So that's when we started them when we got to the hotel. We did nine in a row. And then said to them, right, I'm going to look at you all again in 2 hours. And I had a schedule. And I stuck with that the whole weekend of, right, 1, 2, 3, you guys check in at this time. 1, 2, 3, you guys check in at that time. And then that way, when you're looking at them and continually reassuring them, and maybe perhaps you're going in a different direction, stress can be way lower. Way, way lower. Maybe you do a check-in with someone, they've just eaten a meal, their stomach's a little bit distended, not as tight, and then 2 hours later, you're looking at them and that midsection's better. Well, you reassure them, you let them know, you tell them your midsection's better since eating, and then they calm down, they chill a bit more. And at times, as a coach, there's maybe not a need to do so many check-ins across that day and across that time period. From a physiological perspective, but from a mental perspective and just the reassuring your athlete, managing their emotion, there 100% is. It's something that you've got to do. You've got to be attentive. I think that is, you know, that peak, that 48 hours or 72 hours or whatever it is, that's the most important part of that 20-week prep or 12-week prep, 14-week prep, however long you've done. And for me, that's where it's the difference maker. Being at so many shows in the past couple of years and making decisions based on what I see in front of me has helped to deliver some results. And I'm like, fuck, if I wasn't there and didn't see in person, I never would have made this decision. So one of the most important factors for improving week to week, but also presenting a different look week to week should you need to do that, is your coach being at shows. If your coach isn't at your show, you know, you got to ask them why. You know, you're investing a lot of time, a lot of money into your coach, and this is the fucking big one. This is the cup final. This is whatever sport you play. You know, this is the big dance, the big race, whatever it is, the big match. You know, you want your gaffer, your manager, your coach, whatever you call your boss, whatever. You want them there by your side. You want them cheering you on. And I was, and hopefully my clients will attest to this, I was, you know, at the front of the crowd and probably the loudest, and at times one of the only people clapping. As show day drags on, you'll find the audience clap less. But yeah, I got a lot of energy for clients. I'm buzzing. They've put a lot of faith in me to get them there, to get them over the line. And I'm proud of them. And I want to just, you know, appreciate their hard work and congratulate them on getting over the line and looking as good as they did. And a lot of them were rewarded for that. There was a couple of clients that we fell up a little bit short, but that's the sport, you know. And I explained to both of them that in those moments, post-show that night, the day after, not a lot of what I'll say will change how they feel. They have to digest it and process it on their own. Of course, I chat to them and I give them my 2 cents about what we've got to do moving forward. But at times, like, it's okay if the decision doesn't go your way to feel a little bit sad. I understand that. But then give yourself a certain amount of times to feel sad about it, and then you've got to get yourself fired up to be like, okay, well, if things didn't go our way, like, can we improve and can we get a little bit better going into next week? And the answer is always yes. If someone has a really good attitude and is really mentally strong, 100% you can get better going into next week. Whatever that is, maybe perhaps you need to get better at. For some people, the first time on stage, they've been like a deer in the headlights, you know, trembling, shaking. Then the next week, they're fucking posing like an absolute boss. But I had 9 clients competing this past weekend, and with, you know, 7 of them, I'm doing something a little bit different going into next week, you know. So 2 of them, I'm like, look, that worked great. It's going to be really similar. Maybe just a wee bit more food on day 1. So I guess you could say I'm doing it differently with all of them then, because I am changing it ever so slightly based on what I learned. And this is why I often say to people, like, and you'll see this on Instagram, you'll see the same faces throughout this month just doing show after show after show, and you'll find that their results will improve. Or if they started winning, they just keep on winning. The look never, in my opinion, should deteriorate. If you are coached well enough, it is really, really simple and easy from a physiological perspective to get you over the line and to deliver a better look week in, week out, or if the look's on point, the exact same look. The hardest part of doing the shows back to back and trying to improve week in, week out is in your mind. What I mean by that? The self-doubt that goes on if perhaps you didn't get a result you wanted, or, you know, maybe you got second and you wanted first. You know, you're already at that fragile point where you question yourself. But not only that, is that you're now over the line. You doubted yourself this entire time about whether you could actually manage prep or not. But then now you have. And now you start questioning yourself and speaking negatively about yourself just because you got second place, or you got third, or you narrowly missed out on a place. And when in reality, from my end as a coach, I'm like, anyone can get someone a bit leaner, can get them fuller, drier. If they're a good coach, they know science, they're attentive, no bother. The hardest part is managing people's emotions about what's just happened and then what's ahead, but also how they feel within themselves, right? So a client might be saying to me, you know, I won, but I wasn't happy with the look. When they were, right, they totally were on show day. They were buzzing about it. They were fucking like, you know, yes. And then the day after, they go, you know what? I could have been leaner. I could have been this. I'm not too happy with that. It's like, well, you were. It's just that prep brain is definitely still a thing. But you naturally, as a bodybuilder, because, you know, us bodybuilders, we're certain types of people, aren't we, right? We have this analogy of that the goalposts are forever moving. They're forever getting further away. Once we've got over one line, we're looking for the next. We're looking for what the next big thing is. And that might just be, oh, well, actually, I want to get a bit sharper, or I want to get fuller, or I want to get drier, whatever it is. But you should always be having that conversation with your coach and expressing how you feel. And I've had a couple of clients say, like, oh, do you think we should do this? Do you think we should do that? And I'd be like, no, I don't think that. And this is why I think why. But always being a little bit attentive. And I always say meeting in the middle of perhaps what a client wants to do. As a coach, what I feel the best direction is to go in, having a discussion, listening to them, making them feel listened to, feeling valued, and saying, right, okay, well, we could do that, and if we do that, this is going to happen. We could also do this, which isn't quite what you said, but it's a slight adaptation of it, and that'll get us to there. And usually that's where I end up going as a coach, and again, hopefully my clients, the ones that are going through this peak at the moment, or have, you know, maybe perhaps prepped last year, will tell you that's how I work. And you typically will find after 2 or 3 shows, like, you have a perfect peak, 100%. Now, by that first show, I think for the majority of people, you pretty much get it on the money. But then because you go through it and you're there and you see it, there's always 1% that we could be a bit better or just do a bit different. So just because someone's peak was bang on, doesn't mean you can't still tweak it the week before based on maybe perhaps the closer proximity of the shows. Like, if there's a show on a Sunday and then a show on a Saturday, what you do in that peak versus a show that's maybe a Saturday and a show that's the following Sunday might be slightly different. There might be less food that goes in. There might be less time to pull it back down to baseline. So you go a bit more aggressive the day after the show, a little bit less food, a little bit more cardio, or whatever it may be. You always need to keep this in mind. And for me, I think, I always say this, that anyone that has a coach thinks that their coach is the best coach out there in the UK or fucking America, Australia, Europe, wherever you are. And if you didn't think that, you wouldn't be with them. It's as simple as that. Or you're with them because they're cheap. One of the two. Right? The best coaches out there will be able to get someone over the line and they be mentally okay after it. Right? What do you mean by that? Anyone can dig someone into the ground and can get them trophies, but where I feel I'm good or where I feel I'm very good is helping really manage people's emotions and coach them differently. Some of my clients need their hand held more, and I'm always more than willing to do that and have a conversation about anything. It was last night, pretty much was a way to be bedtime. And I was meshing a client about a problem they had with the tan and a slight shaving rash and whatnot. But I was staying up. I was not going to bed until that client felt reassured, felt calm. We found a solution, and we did. And that is the extra mile, I feel, that you got to go, and the extra level of care that a great coach will show in times of need. In the most important weeks of a client's journey, you have to be there. Any driven drop of a hat. Okay, if it's 3 in the morning, you're sleeping, or 2 in the morning, I get it, right? But the minute you get up, there's a level of importance, right? Your clients are checking in the off-season. They could wait. But if clients are on prep and they're really struggling, you've got to get back to them straight away. Like for me, I'll describe to you my day. My alarm's set for usually 5 a.m. By the time I've kind of got up, been to the toilet, got down the stairs, it's maybe usually, 5 past, 10 past, 5. Straight on the laptop. By that point, I usually have about 3 or 4, maybe 5 prep check-ins. Already checked in, already started their day, already on cardio. Maybe, and by, when I say already checked in, they've maybe checked in like 10 to 5. I used to check in at like 4 in the morning, 4:15 in the morning when I was on prep, so totally get it. As I start replying, I will get clients that are in their off-season doing their morning check-in because they go train and they have jobs and stuff like that. But I will prioritise getting, like, let's say a prep check-in checks in thereafter, I will prioritise getting back to the prep check-in first because I understand the importance of needing a quick reply, particularly when you're on prep and where your emotions are at, and the fact that sometimes things need to change that day. Like, I need to look at that check-in as soon as I can because that person might need more carbs today. They might need less cardio. They might need to not do any cardio at all, less steps, more fats, changing drugs, whatever it may be. So, and my clients are listening to this, they're probably nodding along. Like when you're in off season, you got to reply to your check-in within a couple of hours, but when you prep, you get a check-in and you usually get a reply within minutes, right? If not 10 minutes or so. Depends if you check in at 3:30 in the morning, which I've had 2 clients do. But that's just the way it should be. And I honestly, like, was just this past weekend was another reminder of how much I just fucking love this sport. I absolutely love it, and just the hard work's always worth it. The weeks, the months, the years of check-ins, of looking, of analysing a session, of sessions and whatnot, when it all boils down to it, when you're there and you're part of someone's journey and they come off and they win or they place or whatever it is, it's just such a, it's a feeling I can't describe. And it's a feeling that I couldn't picture myself doing anything else, not for the moment. Could you say I'm addicted to that feeling? Well, I probably am because I don't compete myself anymore. Why? Because I live vicariously through each and every single one of those clients that are coming off in a bit of disbelief because they've won a sword or they've placed in a show that they had never placed in before. And I see the joy and elation in their face, but I see them hugging their mum, their dad, their wife, their partner, or just fucking hugging me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm part of those moments and I'm part of that moment forever. And that feels really cool. Like, when I look back, I've put now 64 people on stage, which is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. But when I look back, I got 64 people's worth of memories over the, since putting people on stage in 2017. Like, and it's something, I'll have memories that I'll remember for the rest of my days. But anyway, guys, I'm going to stop waffling on here. I think I've waffled enough. But I hope that explains a little bit about as to if you can improve show to show, how you can improve show to show, and why you maybe think about refining things to bring a bit of a different look. If you are competing at any of the shows here soon, come and grab me. I am in my own wee world. I have a schedule to follow for when I'm doing check-ins with people on stage. But I'm always open for a chat. Just literally just fucking grab my arm and just be like, Vaughn, hey, how's it going? I listen to your podcast. We'll stop. We'll have a chat for a couple of minutes. And then I'll be back running about like a headless chicken. But if you're on prep and you're competing in any of these shows, you know, good luck for the weekend. If you're not on the team, you know, you're the enemy. I'll be kicking in the shins. No, I won't be. But no, best of luck. And we'll catch up at shows. But wherever you are in the world, guys, make sure you give it the big beans, the whole beans, nothing but the fucking beans.